Good morning. He is good. So, I got a lot of things that's kind of been brewing in me lately to share some new, fresh stuff. But, you know, I think I've shared last time or one or two times ago when I shared, it's always an interesting thing to share, you know, especially in this kind of group with Dan, who was like a spiritual father for me, and all you guys that, you know, have sown into my life over the years. And brother, I just met you, but I can tell just from meeting you, you were led here by the Holy Spirit, like you shared.
Amen.
And you believe that way, that God leads us and guides us. So I'm going to share just some stuff that's been on my heart, just even last night, just stuff that I was praying about. But I don't come and share lightly ever in these situations, because I know that I want to hear from the Lord. I don't want it to be me. And I have a lot of that and have in my life where I've shared and it was just a mess. So, Father, we just thank you for today. We praise you and worship you. And we thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you. You say wherever two or three are gathered in my name, that I'm right there in the midst. So, Lord, we thank you by faith that it is as if we were 2,000 years ago with you in Jerusalem or wherever, that you're right here in the midst of us. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We welcome your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for the word that you're going to share today with us, and for your love, your mercy, your grace, your mercies that are new every morning. How precious and awesome is that, that we can walk in that today, Lord. Every day, that it's new and it's fresh and it's exciting. So, Lord, open our eyes and our ears to hear, and my mouth to speak the things that your heart. And I thank you these brothers and sisters have discernment and can just block out the stuff that's me, but receive a nugget or two that's from you, Lord. We know you want to share so much with us. You know, you love us so much, and we do love you. We praise you. And we do welcome your precious, precious Holy Spirit to speak to us today. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, if you got a Bible and you want to flip through this stuff, I'm gonna read some scriptures today and kind of see if you can find the thread and the thing that the Lord's really been speaking to me. And honestly, The message that I've been really getting the past few months is love. And so last night, you know, I was praying about this. I was like, how do you share a message on love? And what's really, and my wife and I've had a lot of conversations and even friends and stuff about love. Okay. And you say, well, God is love. God is the word. Everything in this thing's love. So how do you share a message that this theme that the Lord's really been putting on my heart the past few months, how do you share a message of love when God is love and everything about him is love? How is it too broad, right? So I want to share it kind of in a backdrop of what something that's always stuck with me that I was kind of remembered of this week. Watchman Nee had written a book called Sit, Walk, Stand. Okay. And he goes through Ephesians. So I'm going to kind of start. I'm going to start in Ephesians 1. Okay. And Alex, even as we were kind of singing and worshiping this morning, just some stuff that you said, just even in prayer, and Dan, it just resonates with me. I don't know if you guys go. The way God speaks to me is just, I have these seasons in life and things that he's showing me and teaching me, and it's kind of a theme, and that's just how he speaks to me a lot of times, and it's a message that I'm really, he wants me to learn at that point, you know. So, and quite honestly, sometimes when I share, I haven't gotten it, but I'm seeing it. So I have more questions than I do answers, okay? But I want to share today kind of in this backdrop of, you know, Watchman Nee's book, Sit, Walk, Stand, okay? So Ephesians 1, and it's 17 through 21. And it says, Okay, and it's kind of just jumping right in the middle with 17, but it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Amen. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his power, of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Okay, and then Ephesians 2:6-9. Okay, and it says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. And Will, I'll just to kind of, you weren't in here yet, but I'm sharing this book that I had read many years ago by Watchman Nee called Sit, Walk, Stand. And I'm sharing today a little bit out of that book, but it's more of like, the message I really have is about love, but I'm putting it in this backdrop of this book that I'd read, Sit, Walk, Stand. Uh-huh. And it's Watchman Nee goes through Ephesians, and this book was kind of a framework in my life, and I see this foundation, and it had a big impact on me. So I'm sharing, I want to share a little bit from this book today, so that's kind of where we're at, is in Ephesians, kind of starting out, but... And 2:6-9, it says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness to us toward us through Christ Jesus.
Praise God.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Praise God.
So you see, you know, Watchman Nee's point was we sit. First, we sit and we're receiving and we're seated in heavenly places. You know, it's funny because I never thought about this till last night when I felt like this is what the Lord was really putting on my heart to share. But I love Jim's chair message. And I think it's interesting that the Lord used a chair.
Wow.
For that revelation that Jim had gotten. Because no matter where you're at, you know, in your walk with the Lord or where people are, it's a seat. You sit first. You know, so it was kind of, that really came to life to me a little bit last night as I was kind of meditating and praying about what to share. Just the importance, and we've learned that, you know, just over the years, just, you know, Moses for 40 years, you're waiting and you're sitting, you know, and it's not a matter of how many years, you know, but you know, it's funny. The neighborhood I live in, there's a guy that lived there. His name is B.J. Thomas. He wrote some songs. Y'all probably know him. I didn't know who he was, but he'd written some songs a long time ago. Kind of a famous guy. But he had gotten saved and turned on to the Lord and was one of those guys that instantly was like thrown into the world and a mouthpiece for God. And, you know, I don't know the full story on it, but I've heard brothers talk about it. I've never met him, but, you know, maybe I'll have that opportunity sometime. But he reflected back on that years later, just saying how that was such a bad deal because he negatively impacted a lot of people. He was negatively impacting. There's just all the verses about novices and stuff like that being a position. So we can definitely recognize that theme or that way that God works with us in sitting and receiving. And, you know, I don't know, like I shared, you know, the chairs is such a beautiful way to look at it because we never are not seated in heavenly places. We're always receiving from him, right? So, you know, a few quotes from Watchman Nee's book that I wanted to kind of throw out there. Good morning.
Good morning.
There's some things that I was kind of strumming through last night that kind of stuck out to me. But he said, Christianity does not begin with a go do, but with an it is done. Okay. The Christian life from start to finish is based upon this principle of utter dependence upon the Lord Jesus. Sitting is an attitude of rest. Something has been finished, work stops, and we sit. it's paradoxical but true that we only advance in the Christian life as we learn, first of all, to sit down. So, and like I shared, just the chairs, Jim's chair message, I feel like it's a real powerful message and an illustration of that. So that's the first part, is sitting, right? The second part that Watchman talks about is walk, okay? It's kind of like a baby, you know, baby doesn't just get up and walk. They're sitting at first, they're receiving, nothing but receiving, but then they start to walk. And if you flip over to Ephesians 4, has anybody read that book? Has anybody read Watchman Knees, Sit, Walk, Stand? Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of sharing today a little bit out of that book since you just got in. But and just the message that the Lord's really put on my heart just the past couple of days, just kind of in regards to this book. But in Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay? So, there's a walking now, right? And in a mature group, everybody here is a Christian. We have a small group here. We're all believers. So we can talk a little bit different. We understand John 15. We understand that apart from Him, we can do nothing. He's the true vine. We are plugged into the vine, right? Yes. We don't have works that we can do in and of ourselves. We only can do the work. A good work is only one that's from Him, wrought from Him in love. Right, we don't have this love, you know, capacity to be able to do that. We can be vessels, right? So keep that in mind as I share, you know, the message that I really wanted to share today was about love, but I feel like there needs to be this understanding and reminder of where it comes from, you know. And then in Ephesians 5, 2, or actually it starts with 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And then it goes on down to verse 8 where it says, For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord, walk as children of light. So He's encouraging us. He's building us up. He's telling us, hey, walk in the light, right? The same way that He, you know, we're encouraged to love one another. You know, one of the greatest, the summation of all the commandments, right? And we'll go through and read a little bit of that here in a minute. But we're really blessed. And I know, Eddie, you've had an opportunity to hear Pastor Jim, but one of Jim's major messages and just the message in the Bible is that apart from Him, we can do nothing. So when we're encouraged or we get encouragement to love one another or to walk, we know, hey, good luck. And a lot of times it takes about 20 years to actually realize, man, you can do nothing apart from Him, you know, and you're on your face in the dirt and barely can talk. So walking, we have that understanding, you know, that we understand that the Lord encourages us. We have these, you know, epistles and these scriptures and stuff that encourage us and tell us, you know, go here, go there. You know, I've shared here a few times, and one of the things that really, you know, I always emphasize is just the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, and I always say, there's a whole message about just walking in the Spirit. And then, you know, the impact and the importance, you know, you were sharing a little bit earlier, just the Holy Spirit, you know, maybe even put these books in my hand. Maybe I'll sneak a peek at them before I pass them to Jim. But the power of the Holy Spirit and how He moves us and the way we all meet each other. And it's the depth of the riches, both as the power, the wisdom of God. I mean, it's unsearchable, right? We need the Holy Spirit. You know, it's powerful. It's important. It's everything. It's God in us. So we understand that walk that Watchman Nee's talking about. So, and the last part of it is stand. Okay, and if we go to Ephesians 6, and it's Ephesians 6 and it's 10 and 11, and it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You know, so there is this, you know, and quite honestly, this is something that I wouldn't say I've blown off for several years, but I always have this. I love the understanding that with God is with you, you're not having to go around and fight demons all the time. And no. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to walk and to live and to move in us. We don't have to go rebuking this, rebuking that, and come into a city and rebuke everything in the city. Man, you've got the power of the Holy Spirit in us, right? So I have that understanding. But he does tell us to stand, you know, and there's a whole, you know, a whole bunch of verses about this, right? If you go on down, I think it's in, okay, I'm going to keep kind of reading through a little bit here because there's a verse that I really wanted to get to, and it's the next one where it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That verse had a huge impact on me. You know, I remember exactly where I was when God really gave me a full understanding of that verse. And you know, I had read it hundreds of times, but there was a point in time, and it was in a political situation where I realized, man, there's darkness and principalities here that's beyond people. You know, I had that understanding that there was it wasn't just a person that you're having an issue with, okay? So if you kind of keep going on, it says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Man, that's powerful. And I'm going to just interject something real quick here, because I have several Bible apps and they shoot verses up. I don't know if y'all have YouVersion or any of these Bible apps, but the same verses come through yesterday and today for these different apps. And it's that Lamentations verse about his mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
You know, and sometimes I get something out of those. Sometimes I'm looking at something else or studying something else. But that really, man, that is a powerful verse just to meditate on every day. His mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Every day is a new, fresh day. You know, I know you guys wake up with the same understanding. You get out of bed and it's just like, man, thank you, God, that your mercies, your grace, today is a fresh, new day. I love Dan's prayer. You know, he was praying, you know, after we were singing, just today is the day. Heaven is now, and it's here, and it's with us, and he's with us. You know, so whether we get something here, whether we feel it or we don't feel it, man, let these words soak in. Let us meditate on these words, maybe later today, maybe tomorrow, maybe later this week. Lord, let the power of your Holy Spirit speak to us, through us. So, you know, this message about standing, you know, and I just a couple of things that I noted. I went to South Texas this past week. One of my family members has a ranch down there, and my whole family was in there. And my brother-in-law is really funny. He's from LA. It's like his second time to ever be in a ranch. So we had so much fun joking with him, messing with him. But, you know, we got to talking about, you know, just our lives and stuff. And he would get up just routinely at 5 o'clock in the morning. And he's a musician, and he works out of the house. My sister works, so a lot of times he's kind of watching the kiddos. He's got 3 kids, and so he routinely was getting up at 5 in the morning, like forever. Okay, so he's like, "Well, gosh, I can go get a gym membership, work out, get my morning going, and be back by 7, and then my sister can go to work." Da da da. As soon as he signed up for that gym membership, 7:30 is when he's waking up now. He was routinely, he never set an alarm. It was 5 o'clock, right?
Amen.
And I was just laughing, you know, just having fun with it. But you know, it's kind of stuck with me, because the commitments that we make man, the resistance that comes from that stuff. You know, from marriage to, you know, you even this, even today, even right now, you know, Danny had called me, hey, Jeff, can you go talk and, you know, in Dallas, can you share tomorrow in Dallas? Yeah, so no problem, man. Then I hang up and I get home and my wife's like, what? We got da 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 da. We have this. You know, so I had that resistance. We worked it out. It's all good. I did pray about it. I said, hey, Danny, give me a second. If I can, I'll get, you know, reach out to another guy. But I really felt like the Lord, I wanted to come today and I wanted to share this. And I felt like the Lord had told me to do this. So, you know,
and it,
yeah, yeah, I need to hear it, quite honestly, to be honest with you. You know, yeah, for sure. So, you know, and it really, whatever we do, what is our motivation? Where, what we're doing, you know, we've got to be rooted in that vine. It's got to be, the message is, and it's funny because I am not going to share this message the way I'm receiving it right now. I just know it. It's just not going to come out the way that the Lord has been sharing with me about love, but I'm seeing it in everything. You know, a lot of you guys know I work at Walmart, and I've had just a huge, huge situation this week with our power going out, and we lost power for like 18 hours, and we have fresh and frozen and dairy, so it's just been a huge, huge, huge thing, right? And a lot of opportunity for stress and for getting mad at this person, that person, and why are they not doing this? And there's just a lot of logistics that goes on with that kind of stuff. But there was a turning point, okay? Because I was down at the ranch. I get a text, hey, Jeff, heads up. Oh, my gosh, okay. And usually that's like a minute-by-minute situation because temperatures are raising and all. It creates a lot of chaos, and you got to really, really quickly get a whole army of people engaged and involved in home office, and it's a big deal. So, I mean, relatively speaking, okay, not in eternity, okay? But the thing that I remember, I was on the phone, I was still in South Texas, so I'm kind of out of the loop, which was probably a God thing too. You know, I was just getting limited cell access and stuff like this. But I had said something to one of my assistant managers. I said, well, it's going to be interesting to see how God turns this into something good. Okay, and how do I say it? So, there's just opportunities, things that I say in the way I live my life that they pick up on stuff, you know. But they agreed, that assistant manager was on the phone, and she's like, I know, it's going to be interesting to see this. And, you know, it was a turning point, to be real honest with you, because I had set in my mind at that point in time, let's see how this is going to work out. You know, and I already did. This was Thursday, and it's already where they. I'm getting text messages from market managers, from fresh operations, from home office, and unbelievable. In fact, there's this thing called canned orders where they send you a big, huge group of like orders for the entire departments, for frozen, for dairy, for meat wall, and all this kind of stuff. We had already processed everything before they could even get the canned orders to us. They were like, we've almost never seen this where we didn't need their assistance. We didn't need them because we already had it coming before they could. We were before they were. And it was just little things like this. And there's so many little situations like that in this that was miraculous, that was a blessing that, you know, I say was the Holy Spirit because I live like can only live and breathe and move through His promptings, you know, and I've gone against that for so many years. I know what that's like, right? And there's times where things don't work out, and I'm not out on the weeds on this thing yet. There's still a lot to do, but man, He's so faithful. He's so good that no matter what situation we're in, we win.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because we're seated in heavenly places.
Amen.
We're already there.
Amen.
We're not waiting for something to happen. We're not waiting for this. I'm not waiting to see, does Jesus love me? No, He loves me. That's what I'm saying. It's hard to share this message because God is love. And it's just, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me. So the whole thing tells me of His love.
Yeah.
Whatever the situation, you know, this book that Eddie just gave was, you know, it's called Even in Our Darkness, A Story of Beauty in a Broken Life. Holy cow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. That's no matter what, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, we win. We're blessed. Amen. You know, that quite honestly, the brokenness and the troubles and the trials, man, they're just a blessing. It's actually what I really need, you know. And I hate to go off on this tangent because there's a lot of probably bad theology that I may have on that, but you know, because people are always like, well, that wasn't from God, or that was from God. Man, I don't know about all that. I do know one thing: in this world, you're going to have troubles.
Amen.
And he says, be of good cheer, because I've overcome them. So when he says he's overcome them, we're already seated in heavenly places. We're already there. Right? So, you know, when I was reading this part about standing, you know, I think my early Christian walk would have had one picture of standing like a military general. Where I'm at now is more like my face in the dirt standing, but my life is hidden Christ and seated in heavenly places. So it's better, because it's not us that's standing, but it's his life and his power and his Holy Spirit that's in us that can stand and that can wake up every day and go, gosh, thank you for your mercy, thank you for your power, thank you for everything that you are and how you're in our lives. So you know, this message of love, what's up, buddy, this message of love is a walk. It's a walk message. You know, it's you're going from sit to walking. You know, if he tells us to love, what is that? It's an encouragement, right? So I kind of wanted to just give this backdrop of Watchman Nee's, you know, sit, walk, stand, which is not needed in this body, because I know you guys and I know what you've heard and the message you've got just about being tied to Jesus and being in the vine, okay? But, you know, our prayer is, Lord, teach us to love like you, agape love. Agape love. You know, Pastor Jim has shared messages on, you know, the different kinds of love, phileo, like a brotherly love, eros, and agape. Hey, Len. And so this message of, you know, this agape love that's from him, that is him, you know, the difficulty, I guess, or the question that I had, like I was sharing, was how do you share a message about love, that God's teaching you about love, when he is love, when it's every single word in the Bible is love, right? How do you narrow that down and share and teach what God's teaching you and what he's showing you when that's the message you're getting? That's what I'm saying. That's a difficult message to share right now because it's kind of half-baked, but I know this is what he's teaching me about right now. So, you know, our prayer is, God, teach us. Have us walk in this agape, unconditional love. That's the difference. Amen. The unconditional love. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 22. So, Lynn, I was sharing a little bit about from Watchman Nee's book called Sit, Walk, Stand. And I don't know if you've read that book, but it's about sitting first, then walking, then standing. It goes through Ephesians. And I was sharing a little bit about, you know, how Pastor Jim's message on the chairs is kind of interesting, because wherever you are in your walk with the Lord or other people, is there is a visual picture there of sitting. You know, we're seated in heavenly places. And so going to Matthew 22, it's Matthew 22:37. And this is, there was a lawyer that was asking Jesus, hey, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And what does Jesus say? It says, Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love. So he's telling us to love the Lord and to love our neighbor, right? It's a walk message. It's what Watchman Nee would say. This is a walk. We're walking now, yeah. Right? Plugged in and tied into Jesus, yeah. Into the vine. It's his love. You know, we're vessels. So here we go. Matthew 5. I got a lot of verses, guys. It's like Pastor Dave. I don't know if he still does it here, but he used to have a lot of verses. It was funny. We'd always be flipping around. But Matthew 5:44, and a brother at work had sent me this text. It was really funny this week about loving your enemies, and that's what this was. We got to laughing about it because we had a real situation where it was not us that had to love another person. It was just had to be Jesus. But it says, actually in 43, it says, "You've heard that it has been said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what are you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So again, the real message over the past few months for me is this message of love. And this is the first time I've really shared it in this kind of format. But like I said, my friends, my family, my brothers, that we've had a lot of, like, we're seeing this a lot right now. You know, and in work, you know, I'll just kind of going back about, I've been with Walmart, I guess, almost 9 years. But when I first started there, I was with a group of assistant managers, and there was 12 of us. And man, there was more backbiting in that group of people than everybody would throw each other under the bus. There was no, like, teamwork. Nobody was covering each other. It was a really bad deal. And it was a really, really difficult time, actually. But I look back on it, and I share this story a lot with my management team and just at different stores and stuff. And I share it because I recognize even today, right now, as I'm reading, that it was love at that point in my time, in my life, that compelled me to do certain things that I did. And I'll give you an example. So it was called the star of the day. You'd come in, there was an assistant manager that had all the duties for that day. Okay, it'd be Carlos on one day, it'd be Jeff on one day, it'd be someone else the next day. And you've got this whole, it's a rough day because you're doing all this stuff. Well, people wouldn't, you know, they'd go do one function and they could knock out one of these lists, but they're not the star of the day, right? And they just leave it, okay? Well, the Lord had put it on my heart and showed me. I knew this is going to be a difficult thing in Jeff, but it ended up being a huge blessing. What I would do, I'd come in early and I'd knock out all the star duties for everybody every day, okay? And part of it was I was learning. I was new to the company. I was called an external hire, so I came in. I didn't grow up as like a cart pusher, then a cashier, that type of deal. I came in as an assistant manager, so I had a lot of learning to do. So I was doing these tasks, and there was the reason it came about to do this, I really felt like it was God looking back, and I knew it at the time, because there was all this backbiting, all this stuff that was going on. I knew I had to lay my life down. I had to do more than they did, and I had to love them unconditionally, because I would do some of the tasks, and so-and-so would get mad at me, and, hey, you didn't do it right, and this and that, and it wasn't going to be received well. I knew it wasn't, okay? But it changed that management team. It literally changed that whole store in a weird sort of way, okay? Because we started helping each other and covering for each other and stuff like this that wasn't ever there. It was always like, this is my duty, this is your duty. I'm not doing that because I've already got enough on my plate, okay? And Pastor Jim has always said, and it's, you know, he said that as, and just different, I mean, it's just the truth. As believers, sometimes we work harder than everybody else. You got to do more than everybody else. You got to know more than sometimes in those situations where, you know, that's just what the Lord had put on my heart to do at that time. And it had huge payoffs, okay, in a lot of ways. Not just, you know, what it did to that store, but it's been something that I've shared and implemented at every store I've been at since then. And it's really motivated by love. Okay, and that's my message. That's the thing I'm sharing. And that's, I see it in my job, in my life, and that's what I'm saying. It's really come to light a lot the past few months, recognizing that the way we move and the way we live through the power of the Holy Spirit is motivated by love. That's not in us. That was not me at all ever before. That has, and I can recognize it as the power of the Holy Spirit. And quite honestly, I think people do too. Because I think the hardest of the hardest, we called her Grumpy Bear. We had this assistant manager that was the grumpiest person I've ever met in my life. she was impacted in a major way. She ended up being a huge, awesome friend of mine. Okay. And I've had this experience in my Walmart career. She was 35 years with Walmart. Okay. I had a guy at my last store. He came in. He was a co-manager. I was a co-manager at this complex store in Dallas. And nobody liked this dude when he came in. Nobody liked him. He'd send home office messages about this manager, throwing everybody under the bus, not having a discussion with them up front about, because you can nitpick anybody in our business at any point in time. You could get me on it. There's just, you can't do it all right, right? You're doing the best you can with what you got. So this guy, everybody was like, dude, I can't stand this guy. We got to get rid of him. Da, da, da. And his name was Richard, okay? And Richard was with, he did store planning for like 7 years, which is a group, they work overnights, and he had a huge amount of resources and knowledge that nobody else had because he had this niche thing that he did, okay? So I said, hold on, guys, Richard's awesome at this. He has this gift and this skill. And, you know, one of the things I'd written down when I was kind of praying about this message, and just as a theme in our church and in Christianity, is just the body of Christ. There's different members that have different gifts, right? And I recognize it in the business world. Lynn, I know you deal with this. You guys that are out there, you know, everybody's not a quarterback. Not everybody's a running back. Everybody's got different gifts and skills, you know? And even in my industry, there's managers I've had that don't recognize that, and they try to get everybody doing the same thing. That's not the way I manage at all. I like to find people's gifts and skills, and I might challenge them in an area, put them in an area that makes them uncomfortable. But, you know, I think that's, God works with us this way also. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But anyways, this message that I've really been getting the past few months, this message of love, is what is it? You know, and it's got me examining what is love. You know, this agape love is, that's the crux. That's the difference. Because I have people at my store that I work with and in my life that I love to death. They're not even Christians, but they have brotherly love. They're just like a blessing to be around, and they bless me and I can bless them. But I do notice one little difference, okay? Because I said, there, one of them had made a comment the other day that was, couple months ago, about this associate, and said, I can't stand that associate. And I corrected him. We were tourists, but I made an off-the-cuff comment. Just said, no, it's not. You love them. You just don't like their behavior. And that person has come back to me several times and said that impacted them in a major way. Okay? And it's important to say the right things, you know, because again, it's a love thing. You know, everything that I'm sharing, even today, I'm trying to express what I'm really receiving right now is that the way we live our lives, the things we share, the way we run our business is motivated out of love. Okay? Not always. Okay? So we see the other side of it too, way too often. Okay? So, and, you know, we recognize that love can be a spanking, you know. A loving parent, you know, spanks a child. You know, that's love. So love does, I recognize that, you know, and we're not, you know, we're sharing that also, you know, and chewing on that. It's funny because I don't know if y'all have seen this, I get these videos or something that my wife will show me or friends pass on, but there's one called It's Not the Nail. And it's this lady, and she's sharing. Have y'all seen this? She's sharing about, she's like, it starts with her, and it's just focused kind of on her mouth. And she's like, the pressure, it's too much. I can't endure the pressure. I feel it, right? And it's just right here in my head, and I think, I don't know what it is. You know, and the camera scans back, and you see the husband going like this, okay, listening to her. And there's a picture of a nail sticking right out of her head, okay? And he's like, well, I bet if you get the nail out of your head, you know? And she's like, you always do this. You always try to fix it. It's not about the nail. Okay? And it's really funny. If you guys, huh? Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah, yeah. Just type in, it's not about the nail. But the thing that, it's funny, I've shown it to so many people and laugh about it because it's such a picture of marriage. Because it's like, the husband's constantly, and business. I mean, you're constantly trying to come up with solutions. You know, and it's a blatant, obvious thing. She has a nail sticking out her head. And she goes on. She's like, you know, and she goes, all I need you to do is listen. He's like, okay. So he's sitting there. And she's like, my sweaters are snugging. I just have this headache all day. And he's sitting there thinking, yeah. And he says, yeah, that must be rough. And really what he's like, dude, get the nail out of your head, right? Like, here's how you fix this thing. I'm going to tell you right now how to fix this, right? But again, I thought about this because what is the Holy Spirit telling us to tell somebody? You know, what is he saying? What's, you know, because there's so much that in my store, there's actually too much, you know, in my store and in my life that I can't do. Everything that needs to be done. I can't say, do this, do that. Man, I don't even know really. Guys, I don't know how to share this message the way that I've been receiving it. But what I guess the message is us walking in our life, in our business, in our families. It's got to be motivated by love. And it is motivated by love. But it's because we're tied in. Let's go to John 15. It's probably one of the most powerful.
John what?
15. So it says, I'm the true vine. This is Jesus. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Amen.
Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Seated in heavenly places. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So again, this is a walk, right? We're walking now. Sit, walk, stand. He's encouraging us. To abide in him. Him abide in us. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Right there, in that verse right there. As the Father has loved me, seated, we're sitting, we're receiving, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Walk. That he's telling us, walk in his love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. It's funny, guys, because being, you know, when I was at this ranch this past week, you know, with my family, family's interesting. You get to see an interesting side of yourself, you know, with family. You know, at work, somebody may say, hey, Jeff, can you grab me a glass of water? Sure, no problem, man. You go get it. Your family asks you, hey, dude, get it yourself. You know what I mean? There's a new level of challenge that I get with my family, at least, that you recognize your sinful nature comes out, a wife, you know, or parents or somebody. They have a way of bringing it out, right? So it's a fresh reminder. We start off with Lamentations. Every day there's new mercies. You know, we recognize that. Lord, I confess my selfishness to you, my pride, you know, my lack of love. You know, I recognize that, you know, and if there's something we can see here with his love, it's the lack that we have in and of ourselves, you know. A lot of scriptures. I'm going to finish here with 1 John. It's John 4. It says, beloved, this is 1 John 4, 7 through 19. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So again, there's an encouragement here to love one another. You know, and there's practical, this is the thing I think I'm being challenged on, you know, in my life right now, is it's almost like, you know, I'm forcing things, like with my wife and just stuff that she might ask of me. Even this morning, you know, you get in those arguments, and but you know Jesus is telling you to go say sorry or go just do a hug. And it's like, I would rather go like fight in a war somewhere or something. I mean, it's like, I would rather do a lot of other stuff except that. It's like a death, all right? But I've come to love those times because I know the power that's on the other side of it. And that's kind of the message, I think, that I'm trying to share in some of these stories, at least at work and just in my life, is the power that's on the other side of this breakthrough brick wall that cannot be overcome by a person, a man, a woman, by anybody apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the thing that we can recognize as believers, is, man, the power that comes from that. Man, I hate to use the word act of obedience, because I know it can be misunderstood. It's not of us. But there's so many times, this is, God deals with me so many times like this personally, because I'm stubborn, stiff-necked, and prideful. And so I know when he's telling me to do something, my original reaction is not good. Like, I'm not going to do it, you know. But there's always a third way, called faith, that we can do it. We don't feel it, but we do it because we know that he's saying do it. We know the power of it, and we know his love, and we know that we move forward and take this step, and we're going to see the power of his love do it in us and through us. He is in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. It's a powerful, powerful thing. So again, guys, I feel like sometimes that this is like y'all are guinea pigs for me, at least, because I'm getting something that it's not fully baked, but this is the message I've been getting a lot, is just about this message of love and what is it, you know, and how it plays out in my life. And quite honestly, when I'm sharing, I already know I've not arrived, but I'm seeing something that the Lord's really doing in my life that's having an impact on me. Okay. So kind of going on here in 1 John 4, says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. I got to share this story. It's so funny because Dan, you know, Dave Cooper, Lynn, some of you guys know, one of my good friends, Dave Cooper, goes to church with us. And we're always kind of laughing about, him and his wife are good friends of ours. They were at our house, I don't know, a couple months ago. And we were talking, he was just talking about how goofy he is and how kind of he hasn't arrived, and, you know, making light of it and this and that. And Shannon was kind of giving him like, yeah, Dave, you need to step it up, man. You know, she was letting him know how many different areas he hadn't quite arrived in, right? And so we were on this text loop together, and he had gotten something from Anne of Green Gables. You know, I don't know if y'all know this book or this movie about it, like a 12 or 13 year old girl. I don't know. I haven't seen it in many years, but he wrote a text. He said, I can relate to Anne of Green Gables so well, because she talks about how easy it is to be sinful, basically, and was based the gist of the text. And Shannon wrote back and said, Dave, she's 12, you know? And just the way she wrote it back, we were all just laughing, but he was like, good point, that's a fair point. But her point was, and the thing we were all kind of laughing at, I feel like I should be so much further than I am in my walk with Jesus and, you know, my reactions to people and walking in love, you know? So maybe that's where, because to tell somebody you love them is one thing, but they're going to turn around and say, hey, man, where were you when I needed help moving? Where were you when I needed help doing this? Where were you? You know, and it's, there's these works that, at least with my group of people, we laugh about the lack of works that we have, right? So God's encouraging us to walk in this, that our newness of life that we are and that we have. And quite honestly, you know, there's an Alan Jackson song that says, love will walk through fire without blinking. And it's, man, I heard that 7 or 8 months ago, and it just penetrated my heart. You know, because there's a love that fathers and mothers have for kids that's just like, I've heard of parents picking cars up off a crushed kid because of the love. You know, it's love, you know, that's coming from not them. Okay? And, you know, we have this. We're tied into this love. You know, so whatever the, wherever the disconnect is in our works and our walking this out and his message to us, I don't know. You know, Jeff is in the way, you know, which is why we learn, I need to die so he can live in me, you know. And the reality is we are dead. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Lord, help us to remember that. I die daily. I die daily. We die so he can live. So, kind of going on here, it says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. One of the verses that impacted me, like probably the first few months of me being a believer 25 years ago, was Jesus, where he said, greater works than these that I do, you will do. Amen. And I couldn't get away from that. It's why I literally didn't go to church for like 2 years, because I didn't know of a church that believed that the works of the Holy Spirit were still manifesting. Most of them were like either Presbyterian or like some cessation of works, and they don't believe. You know, I'm not dogging on the Presbyterians, because there's a lot of brothers that are Spirit-filled and this and that. But I'm just saying, theologically wise, that there were, you know, miracles weren't happening. There's not, you know, that all that was in the old, you know, it was in 2,000 years ago when Jesus was here. Right? But I'll tell you this, it is a miracle of the living God for me to love. Yep. People, you know, and for me to love my wife, that's a miracle. I'll tell you this, that's as big a miracle as healing somebody from the dead, because I had a tremendous amount of not love. So I personally can see that miracle, you know, in my life, and know that that is from him and only him, you know, and to be able to love the people that are brought into our lives where, you know, man, I can't stand this guy. You know, and that's just my natural Jeff reaction. You know, I that's an initial reaction. I don't walk in that anymore. You know, I don't stay there at all. It, you know, because I know there's no fruit in that. I know it's not here. We don't judge by the flesh, right? So, kind of going on here, it says, okay, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And again, guys, sit, walk, stand is just, I just see all this in there. Where is it? You know, if we're receiving, it's like we're sitting. You know, it's that you know, knowing the love of Jesus, knowing his love for us is a sitting position that we never are out of. Even in our walking position, we're sitting.
Amen.
You know what I mean? We're seated in heavenly places even as we walk. We're tied into the vine. So the love that he has, if we're not in the vine, if we're walking on our own, you're walking on your own. You ain't got nothing to share. Okay? I don't. All right? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. And he that fears is not made perfect in love. Man, I can relate to that. I used to, my early years of Christianity was full of torment. I was a believer, but I had a tremendous amount of fear, torment, and I've probably shared with you guys, I don't know if anybody's heard me, but I had a situation in 2000, I think it was 2000 or 2001, a night literally of lightning all around my house. There was a side yard, my room was here, there was a side yard, literally I thought, there's just lightning. It was just all night long, and it was probably after a Monday night, heck, I don't know, I had so much turmoil of like, am I even a believer? You know, I had read chapter 8 in Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis about pride. And I saw that I was exactly like Judas Iscariot. Okay, there's a difference between Judas and Peter. Okay, anybody know what it is? Judas and Peter.
Yeah.
The words I spoke.
Peter denied Jesus too. Okay, three times. Okay. And it wasn't just because Jesus rose his mother-in-law from the dead. Okay, that was a joke. Okay, Peter denied Jesus too. Okay, but he repented. He knew. He did not forsake his own mercy. Okay, there's debate on that because Judas, you know, it was, they talked about it in the Old Testament. This was going to happen. But Judas could have repented too. Okay, but they knew he wasn't going to. Okay, it was known he wasn't going to. Okay. The pride that we have and the self-will that we have is what I was confronted with in 2000. You know, quiet pride, not strong pride, but pride that, you know, I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but the impact that it had on my life was, the word that I got was that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man will come unto the Father except by me. Okay? And it had a real life-changing impact on me. I was already a Christian. Okay? But my soul was being converted. Okay? There was an impact in my soul going on. Okay? If I died, I would have gone to heaven even before then. But there was a tremendous amount of fear because love is still being perfected in me. Okay? So, you know, there's probably a teaching here on spirit, soul, body. But I'll say that that was really impactful. In fact, I think I did share it here because I, you know, I rarely called Jim with anything, but I called him and I was like, hey, pray with me. And, you know, what is this? And just kind of talking to him a little bit. You know, I was literally up that whole night. And by the end of the night, it was morning, the word that I really got was Jesus was my answer. And I already knew that. I knew that here, and already had said the prayer and had the, but, what's that?
I mean, is the word you got Jesus what?
Jesus is the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So that was the, and I mean, I say it and everybody's like, yeah, that great verse, da da da. Man, it impacted me. Like Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is absolutely no other way.
Amen.
And he is the one that sets us free.
Hallelujah.
Okay, and the truth will set us free. That was the only word that I got that night was the truth will set you free. Okay, and I mean, the only thing I liken it to or have heard about, you know, and I'm sure everybody has their own turmoil and trials and stuff like that, but when I hear and read about Luther's trial of crisis of faith, I relate to that. You know, that it just terror, utter terror and fear, okay? And love is the only thing that covers and conquers that.
Amen.
And that, you know, this message of, that's why I say this message of love that I'm getting right. How do you share this? Because perfect love casts out fear. You know, there's love makes an impact in us, right? It causes things to happen in us. It helps. It's the entire word. So I don't even know how to share what this message that I'm getting right now, but I'm attempting to share what it is that I'm getting. Okay. And it's just that the love of God is just, Jim has shared it for many, many years, you know, and it's the truth, is it's the foundation, fundamental of our walk with Jesus, is to know His love. You know, I think about, we got to talking about this past week at the ranch. Somebody was talking about just the love for their kids, you know, and we were talking about, you know, lifting cars off kids that are crushed because you're a parent, you've got this love, and it's just like passion almost. God loves us that way. But I don't think we look at Him that way. I don't think we look at Him as this loving Father that just so excited. I mean, it's like the whole purpose of Jesus was to reconcile us to Him. Yeah. Right? It's like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I've got a way to reconcile with my kids, with my original intent, with my son and with my daughter. It's through Jesus. You know, so to look at God like this, we think of ourselves as loving parents because we know how much we love our kids. But it's like we don't think of God in this loving way, that He loves us the way we love our kids. Think about that. He loves us that way, but more. We're fickle. You know, there's the verse where it talks about, you know, if someone wants bread, you don't give them a stone. And I mean, man, we have an awesome, awesome loving Father that's full.
Amazing.
He is love. He's not full of love. He is love.
One of the frustrations that I have noticed, I've been in the similar area that you are being affected by, impacted by, the not just the concept of, but really the practical outworkings of love. That are, I mean, you really can't articulate it very well. You can attempt to focus or direct people as you're doing now, and that is about the most valuable you can do, because at a point in time He's shown me, I, Dan, have to continue to reveal or just kind of, I don't know, teach, again, kind of run out of words, but He's got to put it in such a way. I was talking to an individual that's a scientist close to an astrophysicist a couple of days ago, and we were both commenting on the inability of our brain. It's great, but the ability of our brain to begin to go out further and encompass an understanding what we're really a part of. We are so incapable. I mean, we're capable of a few things, but when it's all said and done, if you begin to think about the expanse of the universe, of this, of just the concept of love, and what I've been seeing from Father and hearing is that any association that we've been familiarized with about love in the human world, it ain't even, it doesn't mean
it's not of this world.
It's not a drop. There is another understanding, and again, this thing is not capable of it.
Depth of the riches.
Deep within that is, but unless you're open to embracing, saying, "You're my everything," and begin to open yourself. And I'm not talking about some goofy stuff you hear on TV. No, but I'm saying open ourselves. It would say in the Word, if we can find a verse real quick, He'll bring it to mind. Then He has the ability to work in and through us the sort of understanding that you're gaining, and maybe I'm getting a little bit. Just being married in 8 months has brought an entirely different. I wasn't in this place spiritually when I was married to my first wife. I was functioning almost completely out of self and flesh, almost completely. I mean, there was a minuscule baby about it. Of faith, because I think I was a believer, but extraordinarily immature, ignorant, stupid, or whatever, I'm not all that much better, but I've got an awareness now that is radically different. Mm. Therefore, being put into a very close-in encounter with another person in the context of marriage has brought some things to my awareness. You were talking about when someone asks you in an employee situation, go get them a glass of water. Oh, sure. But when you're closest to request something, well, you contemplate whether or not that's really what you want to do right then. Okay? And then if you're reflective, meaning sitting, the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to convey to you, you know, I would do this without even thinking of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, before you thought it or asked it, I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of mm-hmm. whoa. Mm-hmm. That begins to remind you that there is another understanding
mm-hmm.
or awareness of love that I've never probed,
mm-hmm.
that the world doesn't think of. That's why I say, whatever we've been taught or thought about related to love in the context of music and movies and whatever is so inconsequential when it comes to where he is positioned as a lover
mm-hmm.
and as what he wants to inform us of. I kind of use that word you did. What he wants to inform us of as relates to his thoughts and ideas on matters.
It's good.
That's why you run into the issue. I would yep. do the same thing. How do I explain it? How do I teach it?
Yeah.
You just kind of express it a bit and hope that that causes within each of us a desire. I want to know more about that.
Yeah. And exactly what you just said, you know, phileo and eros is what you see all over, but agape is the crux of the matter and the difference, because it's a death to self. It's not getting anything in return. It's a love that goes out just because it's full of love and not expecting in return. And I know that's the crux of the matter. Don't have the depth of that understanding. I will say that, but it's the crux of the matter. Is the and the difference in Christianity and Jesus is that agape love, where we can love unconditionally people. Yeah, that's powerful, Dan. So, again, there's just so much. You know, we talked about a lot of verses. The very last verse right here in 1 John 4, it's 19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. Seated, sitting, receiving. You know, there was one verse, I think we read it today. If we didn't read it today, it's where, well, I think it was in Matthew 5:22. Yeah, where it says, love as you love yourself. You know, and that struck me, you know, this morning, that if you don't love yourself, if you don't know God loves you, you can't reach out to other people. You can't love because you don't know God's love for you personally, yourself. You know, he who's been forgiven much loveth much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the blessing of our pastor, to be honest with you, is, you know, I know some of these guys that used to go to this Monday night meeting, I use that because Jack, I know, and Dan used to go to these things, but we would walk out of those things literally, or I would, being like, I don't even know if I'm a Christian. You know, and there's guys that'd be like, man, that's not Christianity. You got to walk out being encouraged and built up. And I will say this, I was tremendously encouraged and built up the right way mm-hmm. after that. There needed to be a death to Jeff and a recognition that apart from Jesus, I can do nothing.
Amen.
And quite honestly, it wasn't Jim. It was the Holy Spirit at that
right.
point in time.
Amen. That's good.
Okay. That's so, you know, I'm so thankful for brothers and different members of the body that share and have a message that, you know, we impact each other so much. Each one of you guys, you know, that is important and a different member of the body. I love that picture. And I actually quite honestly use that same analogy in my business, you know, that there's different gifts. You know, one guy's an elbow, you know, one guy's a mouth, one guy's an eye, you know, and everybody's got different gifts and stuff. And I try to find those gifts in people. And it's kind of an interesting thing because I think a lot of those gifts are from God and they may not be a Christian, but it's just an interesting thing to me that God, you know, there's verses that I was reading this morning about how he makes it to rain on the, right, the just and the unjust, and maybe we read it today. I don't know if we read it today or not, but that's God's heart. That's God's heart. He's not selectively going. No, he just loves everybody. He reigns on the just and the unjust. I don't know. And to study God's love and to know him, I mean, really, we're learning about love when we're growing in him, because he is love. So, and I don't know, this is just the message and the theme that I'm getting right now and really, really need and appreciate. And so that's, like I said, I apologize to you guys that y'all kind of get a half-baked deal, but it's really, yeah, it's good. I need to share it because it helps me to even share it. So,
you recommend the book?
I do. Yeah, I read it years ago, but it's kind of a. I think if you read it, you might be like, yeah, it's kind of basic. It's really thin, but Watchman Nee is a blessing. But it, you know, sit, walk, stand is the name of it. But it's literally just a description of our walk with Jesus. That we receive first, then we walk, and then we stand against the devil, you know, with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, built up the armor of God. You know, it's just a good picture of our walk with the Lord. And when I shared this message of love, I just wanted to start with that book, with an understanding that the encouragement to love and to walk in love only comes from the fact that we've already been seated in heavenly places and we've already received that love ourselves personally. You know, so it's just, that book has just impacted me fundamentally. Thankfully, I read it many years ago because I funnel so much stuff through that with an understanding that apart from him, you can do nothing. You know, this isn't a good analogy, but you always hear when you're flying in the airplane, you know, the plane goes down, the lady says, put the mask on yourself, you know, and then you help the person next to you. When the mask comes down, they lose pressure in the cabin. And it's similar because we got to know his love for ourselves, you know, before we end up, you know, before we're walking, sure. Right? And there's no time frame. Maybe it's 40 years, you know, I'm still learning this love, you know, so
praise God. Amen.
Thick skull here, but God is awesome too. You know, he's faithful and just. He's in us the will of his good pleasure, and he is awesome. I love the way he deals with me, and I say that from a fear and trembling standpoint, because, you know, quite honestly, you know, I didn't go down this path talking about suffering, but I love books like that of brokenness and, you know, times where it's painful, but we all could probably quietly agree it's a good thing. You know, I know some of the most powerful, tender moments with my kids, you know, they're in trouble and I have this real, you know, I put them in front of my bed and I make them stand like here, you know, if they're in trouble, and I'm like, you know why you're in trouble, you know, and they're, you know, they did something wrong and it's going to be a spanking. Sometimes there's mercy, but sometimes there's spanking, okay? And boom, 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 three spankings, and then they're broken. Like, and I hug them. Okay? And it's over. And never again, I'm not bringing that up. You know, I'm not doing 10 hits. It's 1, 2, 3. Wooden spoon breaks them. It's a really precious time, and usually we'll snuggle up for 10 minutes. You know, and that's the point that I want. That's what I want. You know, I can't stand doing spankings. You know, and usually it's 3 or 4 times in their life. It doesn't even take much, you know. But, you know, that time, that's love. You know, that's love. A spanking is love. So, whole nother message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are just full of love. You are love. You are the fullest expression of love, and you sent Jesus to us as a full representation of love and your love for us to reconcile us with you, Father. We thank you so much. We're blessed and thankful and grateful. So we thank you for that. We thank you for revealing yourself to us, for being full of love and mercy and grace and power and everything that you are, Lord. And we pray that this message of love that you is what we meditate on. Because really to say that we're receiving your love and, you know, an understanding of love means we're receiving an understanding of you, because you are love. So we just praise you today. We thank you so much for today. And help us to walk this out. Help us to receive it. We're constantly receiving, constantly receiving. We're seated in heavenly places. So we live and operate out of that position, our position in Christ, in faith, walking in love. Thank you, Lord, that you do expose us when we don't, and we confess and repent daily. We thank you, Lord, for just your the way you deal with us and the way you love us. We pray blessings on everybody here today, Lord, in their lives, in their marriages, in their families, in their business, just for your power, your Holy Spirit. We don't take this prayer lightly, our time with you, our words with you. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you for your presence in our lives, in this building here today, as we go forth, that your love, your Holy Spirit is with us and can conquer and overcome brick walls and impossible situations. We thank you that your love covers and conquers a multitude of sins or problems. However, we have that understanding that your love conquers. So we thank you for that, Lord. We praise you and worship you today. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you, Father. We ask you to just bless the rest of our day and our week. Continue to speak to us. We thank you that your sheep hear your voice. We thank you that you're continually, you never give up on us. And we are so grateful for that, Lord. Continue to produce in us a clean heart. Help us to recognize that our heart is seated with Christ. We have a new heart. It's not getting cleaner. It's already 100% clean. It's our soul, Lord. And we thank you and praise you that you're sanctifying us, you're changing us, and making us who you created us to be. We praise you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.